Happy New Year for 2016. Welcome into episode 143 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise and you've got the mutts in the background. Today I've got a blither with Jigsaw, What's a Crack, a review of 2015, coming up in 2016, there's a competition, there's a retreat, as promised with prices, which is actually why the podcast has been delayed for a couple of weeks because I've been trying to figure them out. Me section and the shoppy section. There is a dram section recorded, but I think this will be over and above the allotted time, so I'll put it in for next episode. I sponsor this for my own crafty business, which is www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft. All the links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram and I'll let you know what a crack is in Caithness this week.
Now for the blather.
The blather, Jigsaw. Did you all have a lovely holiday? Did you get some lovely crafty gifts? I did, and I'll tell you all about them shortly, after I've gone and looked up some more adjectives for lovely. Oh, Louise, twice in two sentences. It was tortoise-tastic in our house this holiday time. Daisy had wanted a real-life tortoise from Santa this year, but while Santa delivered a beautiful female necklace of a tortoise, which he commissioned, a local small company called Sweet Rage to make for him. Sweet Rage are on Facebook and she will post out to you if you have a particular thing that you want made out of female, which I think is what she uses. On her photo she has the photo of a pet and then what she makes and it is absolutely perfect. I had to break the news that Santa doesn't deal in animals and all tortoises would be hibernating at this time of the year, so not to look for a real one. Then when we were in the vets, picking up Quattro, who is fine, but had a manly operation for health reasons. Oh, there's backstories of backstories here. All put out your hands and wiggle your fingers. I have a story. Well, in the vets, there was a tortoise waiting to see the vet. There's that theory blown out of the water thing. Santa does deal in livestock. Sandy also wants a tortoise, and Santa, or Auntie Marion, I think, delivered him a 1,000-piece jigsaw of 24 of the little chewy meal in a shell. Actually, there were 6 tortoise and the rest were turtles. And I believe in America that they are all called turtles, the land and the sea versions, but us Brits differentiate. So as a family, we sat down and got absorbed. I started it. The bairns got a bit involved and then Richard was found straining his eyes for hours afterwards. And this was quite a hard puzzle. Not to the extent of the one that Willie Bear goes and does at her fancy inn that she goes to sometimes, but there was a lot of cream bits and a lot of wee symbols the same and random shapes that the jigs were. We got it done in 3 days, which was acceptable, I would say, for the difficulty level. As I was sitting at the puzzle when I was by myself, I started to consider this. Life is a bit like a jigsaw. You thought I was going to say like a box of chocolates, didn't you? No. You are defined by 2 things. You are born and you die. It's the in-between part that can be very, very puzzling. Get it? Puzzling? Ah, okay, it is a bit early in the year for this. We can relate a knitting project to jigsaws too. First, you have the idea you want to make it, be it you know what the end result will look like or not. Some puzzles don't have pictures, some knitting patterns don't have pictures or even patterns. So then you get organised. For a puzzle, this means making space on the table or the jigsaw mat being free. I used to own a jigsaw keeper or folder, but I have no idea where it ended up in between house moves. It was okay, but we didn't do enough of them to want another one. For the knitting, you get your yarn ready, either by winding it or just by finding it, which is also a very good start. Printing out or finding the pattern in the book, getting the blank notebook for your notes which you make up. This kiddie as you go. Then you read the pattern and think, I need notions, which pins do I need, and do I need beads or stitch markers? Where is the tape measure gone? I have 4 in my house, and I can only find 1 just now. Well, this was last week, I found 3 since then. My house was that messy, it's been tidied up a bit. So then we start. In a puzzle, it's normal to start by turning all the bits the right way up and then put the edge and the corner bits to the side. In fact, Mrs. Mackay, Sandy's teacher, puts all the edge bits and the corner bits into a plastic bag once she's found them for the next time she does the jigsaw. How teacherly organised is that? I see that's just cheating. Where's the fun in that? The sadisticness of it. In knitting or crochet, we make a tension square. Stop laughing. Don't we, listeners? Yes, we do. Everyone just nod. Whilst the designers are looking, look, designers, look at that lovely quiviet yarn. Go pet it. Right, stop faking it, the rest of you. Alright, so we cast on the project. In the jigsaw, we are seeing colours and patterns that match, and we put them in a pile, and some of them we find go quicker together quite easily. We manage the writing part okay, and we feel the jigsaw is starting to take shape. Meanwhile, in the knitting part, we are making progress. We've got past the ribbing or the first lacy pattern and we're down to the heel. We know we've got a bit to go and we're happy with the way that the yarn looks and... Oh, look, everyone show everyone else how your yarn is knitting up. No, Louise Tilbrook, I don't think it would look like that either. It's just another glorious choice by your good self. Trust her, I'll never get that good way, right? You know, mutter. So now all the easy bits of the jigsaw are together. Some may even go right across the puzzle and you get an idea of its finished size. And then you think, oh, my back hurts. I need to feed myself. And you get interrupted. In knitting, you can see the progress. You might have made a few errors, but have successfully managed to tink back enough and sort it. But again, you get interrupted by dinner and yes, your back hurts and you've not moved much recently, have you? So you both go to bed. The next day, you have something to do completely differently out with the house and you cannot take either with you. And all you want to do is jigsaw or knit. You rush back, you scatter the things you foraged from out the house across the kitchen. Tonight's an easy meal, so that you'll take way less time and you can find yourself ignoring the clean-up as the bairns are helping you and bedtime is pushed later back. But then the puzzle starts getting harder. All the easy patterns are together now and you call in the cavalry, who is methodical in his puzzle working out, which is great because... You know you could do that bit, but you just hadn't quite gotten round to it yet. In the knitting, this means you've got to the turning of the heel or the ripping back of the lace and finding where you are. Your best pal or your mum, your knitting guru or your YouTube friends magically appear from their magic lamp and they help you get over that hump. Then the puzzle, it gets harder and you're cross-eyed. Really is bedtime. Best just walk away. Now, I look at it with a fresh eye in the morning. The knitting has whizzed forward a bit and yet you need to concentrate because it's black 2-ply and it gets dark here at 3:30. Still, it is January. What were you thinking? I had my lights on the whole day on Monday and Sunday and Saturday, if you come to think about it. Not today, it was quite nice today. You've also been distracted by the latest knit along by, say, Curious Handmade or Paula's got a new design out. And you have to be in that gang. So you set down this project for a while whilst you get that project all organised by winding the yarn. And whilst you're doing that, you mull over the current project and, oh, I know what to do with that lace section. Or, that's how you graft the sleeves on. Or, finally, doof, the Kitchener stitch. Drops itself finally into your brain. Nah, not mine yet. I still refer to instructions and I have to do it in a quiet room by myself. But that's tomorrow when there's a quiet room. And are we all refreshed and there's the bits in the jigsaw you were looking for yesterday and they pop fit straight away. And then we start looking not at the colours but at the shapes. You finally find the place for that weird, thin, tiny shape, which of course fits in the old other tall, skinny bit, and together they fit perfectly into that absolutely bog-standard, normal-looking space. Who knew it would go in like that? One by one you put them in. Your jigsaw guru had to go to work, but not without doing it at his breakfast, and he drinks his coffee on his way out the door and finds a bit that fits. The children help. You have to remember it is an actual fat Sandy's jigsaw, and you... are only helping him. The last bits of the knitting are happening now. All problems have been sorted and you realise you had 5 stitches instead of 4. Now it works, now it looks right. You are getting to the cast off age and you find out which one is the base one. But you ask Twitter and all of a sudden it's done. You've cut the yarn, always a scary time. Then you block it and you sew in the ends. The jigsaw has the last piece popped in by Sandy, of course, and you look back and you go, wow, we did that. And we did it together too. It was left out for the jigsaw guru to marvel over our persistence when he came home from work, and we got to look at the pictures and read the tortoise facts and think, was it really that hard? Seems so obvious now. And then will come the time where it got split up and it got put in its back in its box, ready for another time later in the year. But next time there's going to be knowledge of what bits to do first, and it has millions of pieces that are done by shape alone. And we had great fun when we were doing it, and we can do it again. Or swap with other jigsaw-friendly people, because they were all talking about that day, sewing day the other day, weirdly enough. Your knitting project is now ready to wear or be given as a gift. You achieved it. It can be admired and looked at and touched. Unlike the puzzle, it's not really meant for breaking up and it has a purpose, but you can unravel it again and reuse the yarn for the same thing or something else. It's not normally made out of thousands of pieces, but the piece of pattern made it up and make it look like nothing like the ball of yarn it started out like. I hope if you were designing it, it has turned out the way that you wanted. And more importantly, you wrote down the instructions so we can all make it too, and you can make a fortune on it. So whether you're a million piece or a four piece jigsaw, I hope you manage to put it together, and if you need help, ask for it and enjoy the achievement. If you need a piece, stop and go, because it's time for the Daisy and Sandy giggle.
Hello
section. A Sandy hello to new to me, been with me a while now and been with me forever, listeners. I very much appreciate you tuning in and I hope that you're still enjoying yourselves. A Sandy hello to new group members, Milau, who has the most gorgeous Shiba Inu doggy on her avatar. Should maybe practice that first. Lovely doggy. Lace Maven, who has recently knitted a Star Wars by Mrs. Luke Deck hat, and it looks pretty cool, and she made it in 2 days. Beast Chops, who has a red squirrel as her avatar, and also at some point has had a puffin. She therefore is cool. Random hellos to Jamie and Steve, who continue to be in my thoughts and prayers. Lemur Girl, Les Deer, Laura Gesson, Librarian Kate, who... Librarian Kate is a wee bit behind. So have you caught up now, Kate? Hello. And Lisa T from Ontario. I was in the L page of the member list, so hello to all us L names. Now that reminds me of the thing I did on Facebook yesterday, where you get your name and the letter and it starts off and then you think of certain things. So name, Louise, it starts with L. So animal starting with L, lion. Boy's name, Lionel. Girl's name, Lionella. Colour. Lion colour, or lion. Movie, Lion King. Something you wear, Lion Gym clothing. Drink, lemon juice. Haha, got you there. What do you think I was going to see? Lion pee? You did, didn't you? Food, lion. If you're a big mad thing. Something found in the bathroom. Hopefully not a real lion, but we have a sponge one. Place, Leon. Reason to be late, lions ate my homework. Go on, play along, make your brain hurt.
What's the crack section?
What's the crack? Now, I had a wee post up on Ravelry requesting help, and you've all heard me do random hellos to Jamie and Steve from Colorado. So, new listeners, Jamie is battling cancer, and this is not a good battle, or a very easy one just now. Steve kindly keeps me updated with her progress on days she's too tired to reach out. And he had wondered, in a lovely husbandy kind of way, if I or some of my listeners could send Jamie a bit of fleece or fibre, because she loves to drop spindle and play with all the fibre, and the post would of course brighten her day. And I'm absolutely delighted and so heartwarmed to report Jamie has been getting some lovely posts indeed. She sent a message to say thank you very much, and it was a really, really kind thing that you all did. Steve sent us a message today, and again, lovely. I was mentioned in dispatches for being the instigator of it. Really, I didn't do very much. It was you guys that did it. So I'm pleased that I've managed to make both of them very happy. And thank you for all you kind people that took your time out and sent some fibre her way. If you're fans of the Outlander programme and are missing it whilst the next series has been filmed, then head over to listen to Subway Knits podcast, where Maria is having Droughtlander read along and knit along. And she's doing this until the start of series 2, which is, don't know, not yet. And she has prizes, and one of those prizes is my Fraser Tartan project pack. So do go listen to her Subway Knits podcast. I had a reply email from the very lovely Elspeth May saying thank you for the mention of the Knitting and Crochet Guild, and that they have a couple of new Scottish members, so if that was you, hello! If not, and you were thinking about it last episode, take a look at the linked website and go for it. I bought the Art of Quilting sort of magazine, which was at an introductory price of 99p. It's one of those that you buy every month and it adds up to folders and folders of instructional information and patterns. You get these type every year. There's also a crochet one this year, and if it gets you into a new craft, then to me that's ace. The Art of Quilting comes with a few bits of material and some needles and thread, which it's not very thick material and it's certainly not platinum needles, but it'll be grand for when I want a wee bit of material or a needle or thread to sew in a cub's badge. The information on the magazine part is quite good. It has a pattern for a double four patch block and a cushion. And the idea is that you build up your material every issue and you make a quilt top eventually. And the material that they have given is bright and quite eye-catching. It's quite nice. It's just a shame it's so thin. If you were wanting to start quilting or finding more about it, then this would be 99 pence well spent. I know that the subscription is quite a good deal because it's £3.99 an issue if you get it in the newsagents, but £2.50 if you subscribe. If you are already a quilter, buy the 99p one for the needles and the cotton thread, and then spend the rest of the money on thicker quality material. I also bought the Let's Knit magazine for December 2015, which might be a bit late for you in person, but you can get it still online for those that are Frozen fans, because there is a pattern for Olaf the Snowman. Do you want to build a snowman in it? Plus, there's some really lovely patterns in this issue, something for all abilities and designs, so I would actually really recommend Let's Knit from December 2015. Now, for my own Christmas, I got from the children Star Wars Crochet by Lucy Collins, and she used to be Lucy Ravenscar. So I'm wondering, maybe she got married or possibly divorced, but either way, hopefully the first. This book came with a kit of a crochet hook, some stuffing, and enough yarn to make Yoda and a stormtrooper. It's really good instructions at the start. I would maybe say that the patterns aren't based at a beginner without confidence level, and also that I made Yoda and managed to crochet his feet onto his bum rather than the front, and I still can't figure out from the instructions that I thought I had followed correctly. But if you're into Star Wars, and by I mean episodes 4, 5 and 6 characters, then this is a must buy for you, and it's very much worth the £13 from Amazon. However, when I was double checking it, it had gone up dramatically to £31. Ouch. So I don't know whether it was maybe worth that much, but if you're mental into Star Wars, maybe it's fine. But at the £13, I would most certainly recommend it.
The review section.
Review of my knitting year. Well, I had a look back at my Ravelry page, which is a great tool for us knitters and crochets in this respect. You can keep a good record of your work as you go. It's not too onerous to keep it going either. I seem to have 10 projects listed from last year. One's crocheted, and it was the Two Infinity and Beyond scarf that I made for the Terry Pratchett swap, and with the tenuous link being it was broomstick crocheted and granny weatherwax is a canny sort that wouldn't just use her broomstick for flying on, I reckon. So this went to Just Kai over in Virginia, and we had a very lovely swap. The other 9 are knitted. The one at the start of the year was the R2D2 beanie, which was the first time I tried colourwork properly. It was a little on the tight side in the end, but it fitted him perfectly, and I'll know for next time to either do a tension square or use bigger needles, or both. And this was quite a fun, fast knit for you Star Wars fans. I then finished my Lush cardigan by Tin Can Knits, and it's a great garment. I get compliments every time I wear it, and you know, I'd knit it again, but I would use crisper, harder wool next time, as the acrylic Liddell's wool was too soft. And there's plenty of help for this pattern on Ravelry if any of you fancied it and you haven't made a garment before, then there's been quite a few knit alongs on it there, so you can get help, and my own included, along with Louise and Joe. I have a silk hanky cowl listed, and this was knitting straight from the silk hanky square. I have a couple more silk hankies in the stash, but I will spin them up first because I think it would have a nicer finish on the yarn rather than knitting straight from the silk hanky. This is a great cowl because it acts just like silk should, warms when needed and cools when not. And I recommend pure silk garments to everyone if you can possibly afford it. I then got onto some socks for the boy. These are Totally Vanilla Socks by Cookie A from her Socktopus book, which has you knitting a tension square and working out a formula. I used No Maker's Wabbit Season Duck Season sock yarn given to me from the very lovely Travers mum Sue. So hi Sue, I hope you're well. At the same time, Louise's mum Zelia, my mum, cast on the flamingo colours No Maker's, but with this had cashmere in it for Daisy, and she used a Harry Potter sock knitting pattern. Sandy's are lovely and wearing very well. Daisy's, on the other hand, are lovely, but they're nice and warm. The cashmere, it's far too good for her. She wears them straight away when they're dried after being washed and left to dry flat on her radiator. But I don't see them wearing very long, if that makes sense. Mind you, the rate she grows, I don't think she's going to be in them for very much longer anyway. But I think she'll get the use out of them, if you see what I mean. Then, early summer, I very quickly made a Menahuni, she'll still tell me off for that, Cholet by Emsky Knits, which is a very fast knit, and it uses about 100 grams of 4-ply, and is one of those ace patterns for that skein that you were given or bought and you're not sure what to do with. I used a silk blend by Ursula, who used to be Gaius Colours, and a Skinny Bugger by Sanguine Griffin, both in green, and these were given to me by the very lovely Stacey Yarn Salad. The silk in it, which makes it drape beautifully, and I did the border in the silk and the main body in the Skinny Bugger, which was quite squidgy and lovely dyed through, and it had a lovely warmth to it. And I gave this to my lovely friend Joan at Textile Artists because she has problems with her neck and she wears a lot of green and it suits her. She was wearing it before Christmas and it caught my eye and I thought, oh, that's nice. And then I realised I'd made it. So it makes me happy that I have so much to say about the origin of the yarn and where it went to. I also, about early summer, finished my big winter jumper, because that's what you're supposed to do, aren't you? I finished my unicorn pattern, well, unicorn to me, Owls by Kate Davis, and I really, really like it. I like the pattern, I like the yarn, which was New Lanark in a dark grey colour. I'm not so keen on having to wash it, but I've not had to do that very much, and you can get away with not washing woolly jumpers if you don't spill food down them for very often. I do have to wear it over long sleeves top though, because it's not been washed all of its lanolin out yet, and it would probably soften up a fair bit more. I would make this again, and that leads me on to the Owligan cardigan, which I'm on the arm for, but no finished, so I will not continue. And that's for 2016 roundup, that one. I cast on the Brandywine Falls wrap using the Colonnade art yarn, which is an Aran weight and in a minty blue purpley kind of mottled, beautifully coloured, but the dye still runs out of it after 3 washes yarn. I very much enjoyed working on this project, as there was a little of everything for me. There's a bit of lacy work, a bit of garter work, knits up quite fast, and 2 new to me techniques, which gives it a beautiful texture and pattern. I would have liked mine to be a bit wider, but because I had the yarn I had, the amount of yarn I had, I went with it, and I get loads of compliments when I wear this for the yarn and the pattern. And I would make this again, and Ravelry has just told me that I have Noro in stash yarn, so I could make it with. Fantastic. Then I cast on the Ashton Lane Cholet by Get Back in My Pocket, Owl Print Panda Amanda B. Collins, who drove to the wrong workplace this morning. Twitter, she said. Poor Amanda. She's so lovely. I used Lobster Red Knit Pick Shadow in Lace 2-ply, and it's 100% merino. And this pattern has beads in it, and I wouldn't use the beads I used again, but I love wearing it because the light catches the clear beads and it sparkles. That is when the sun does shine. Which is actually, I can see it behind the clouds, but it's not, we've not seen it yet this year very much. However, took back to the patterns. I had problems knitting it because I went wrong in the last part of the pattern, but knowing the designer helped because she helped out, and then I re-knit it back up again pretty toot sweet when I figured out where I'd gone wrong. I think there's still a couple of mistakes in it. In fact, there are mistakes in all the previous projects, but cleverly hidden, so not upsetting anybody. Don't go looking. I do have yarn to make this shawl again, and I would use either no beads or little round littler beads on it. It's a really nice shape to wear around the shoulders and it sits lovely. Plus Amanda made it and she's very cool. And then for the Christmas craft fair, I turned into the Corkanese lady of drink all the wine for the corks. I still collect the corks, but I'm not knitting the Corkanese gnomes anymore. I like them. They make me smile. They use up old bits of yarn and they're just beautiful hanging on the Christmas tree. And then Mum had hers in the kitchen. And I'll make more throughout the year, I think, and then everyone is getting them for Christmas next year. Oof, should I say that word in January? So, the roundup. I made, or rather finished one, and totally made one big garment, 3 shawls, 2 cowls, a hat, 1 pair of socks, and a partridge in a pear tree. Oh, that's so last year, Louise. I made that hundreds and hundreds of gnomes. I didn't really break new boundaries with starting fair ale or learning steeking or other hard techniques, but I did enjoy most of my knitting last year. And I remember knitting back things, not reading the pattern right, is this ever going to go end? But I am pleased looking back at what I have. And I'm pleased that I gave off stuff as well, didn't just knit for me, so that was nice. This year coming, I've currently got 5 projects on the needles or hooks right now. More on them in the me section later. I'd like to be a little bit more productive and not take so long to finish things. Maybe making smaller items would achieve this, or getting down and knitting and not procrastinating on Pinterest might help. Also, what I want to do is try to carry on working through my stash, because I've been gifted quite a lot of both yarn and patterns, and I've tried to match them up recently. So I have a Colour Collusion by Jan Hanby and a Wild Goose Shawlette by Paula Ames Feasley sitting printed off with the yarn earmarked for them. I also want to finish off my Owl again, Toot Sweet, and get a couple of hats from the Woolly Wormhead Painted Toppers book rattled out whilst the winter is wintering. I have put aside the yarn to make the Colour Affection by Vera Valamaki, and then for winter wearing I would, probably next winter, I'd quite like to start at the Cable Dress by Koyoka Nakayoshi, but I still need to buy the yarn for that. I'm not going to beat myself up if I don't make all of these or get sidetracked in March by the Edinburgh Yarn Fest goodies. But that's the plan.
Runny, runny, runny. Who's the mummy?
Me, that's who. Runny, runny, runny. I have rejuvenated the Runny, Runny, Runny section for a few episodes. As I've told you previously, Richard and I have signed up for the Inverness Half Marathon on March the 13th. What I haven't told you is that my cousin's wee girl has been diagnosed with leukaemia and is currently undergoing treatment, and she is a wee star. She's on chemo dose 3, and I wanted to do something to help. So I'm going to run for sponsorship of Click Sargent, which is a cancer and leukaemia in children charity, because my cousin has had some help from them while she's been in and out of hospital. Now, I've never run for charity before, and so I've set up a Just Giving fund page, and the money will go straight to them without having to come to me first. And if you are a UK taxpayer, there is the gift aid part of it that will put the money up a little bit too. I'm also running a fancy dress for my cousin's favourite is Hello Kitty or Monsters High. And I just can't stand Monsters High, so I've gone with Hello Kitty. Then Richard says, oh, well, I'm doing it too. Well, I get dressed up as well. So he's going to look splendid in the Hello Kitty dress as he wings it round Inverness. Now, I said, if I can make her smile, then I'll feel like I've helped a little bit, because they live down near Newcastle, and it is times like this that I wish we were closer. So I'm helping in the way I can. If you would like to donate, I'll have the link in my show notes. I got loads of running clothes for Christmas, and I bought Running Songs 3 CD collection for £5, so I'm all sorted. I've been out training, and I think I started too far because my knee's a bit sore. So I'm picking up my hip exercises and strengthening them, which will help my knees. Slightly grumpy about it, because by rights I should be out 5 days a week, starting Boxing Day, but I'm not worried or panicking. If any of you fancied signing up for any running event, now's as good a time as any. The Couch to 5K is a great app. It gets you to walk and run, and it gets you there at a good pace. If you, like me, ate too much this holiday season, then get wrapped up and get outside and go for a walk. Then eat, sleep, walk, repeat, and again until you are super fit. So that's looking forward into the year. Other things coming up are...
Coming up, it's near.
Ba-dum, see how I did that. Anyone near Inverness area, you are commanded by me to go to the Inverness Museum as of Saturday the 9th of January, which was 2 days ago, to the 20th of February, and the opening hours are Tuesday to Friday, 12 to 4, Saturday, 11 to 4. You made a reason, I suppose. Well, a selection of the Great Tapestry of Scotland is there, and it will have the Caithness panel, which is the 1851 Caithness schoolroom, which I helped stitch. It's an amazing piece of historical artwork, and for those of you who appreciate craft, you will be amazed at the amount of work gone into all the panels. And for those who are not into the crafty part, then the history part is very interesting. So, when in Snake, head there. Or I must have been due. The textile artist group will be heading down en masse at some point. Probably a Tuesday, I've been told, but I need to work out children logistics first. And as far as I know, the Roslyn panel has not been returned. The Edinburgh Yarn Fest is happening on the 17th to 19th of March. The 17th is just for classes. The Friday and the Saturday is the marketplace as well. I am going to this on the Friday and the Saturday. Louise Scully is organising the podcast area and the meetups, and I'm doing as I'm told. So there will be quite a few of us there. I will be there from the Friday lunchtime because we're travelling down on the Friday morning. And we're, Mother and I are staying in the Edinburgh Park Novotel, if any of you were going to there. It has a swimming pool, you know. I've been before. The podcast lounge this year is going to be sponsored by Blacker Yarns, which is pretty cool. They have some wonderful British yarns which are well worthy of your attention. We're also doing things in time slots, and Louise is announcing them. So this neatly comes into the competition for two tickets to the EYF. I will open a thread, and I want you to tell me what you are going to buy from one of the lovely vendors who are going to be selling their wares at EYF. And I want names, so therefore you've done your homework. I'm going to leave this running until Valentine's Day and then post you the tickets for plenty of time to get to it on the 17th to the 19th of March. The retreat. My retreat is happening next year. I finally have the prices rattled out and they are booked, so nobody else can get them. And actually, this is going to be... No, it's not going to be confusing. You can work this out. But I have three prices for you, and it will depend on how many people come as to what the price is going to be. The price will be, at the most, £282. And this is costed for 12 people with their own bedroom, sharing a three-room, fully self-catered chalet, and also includes the conference chalet. Now, I have room for 15 people, and if 15 people come, the price will drop to £272. And the way I'm going to work this is to give you until Valentine's Day to note your confirmation of interest here, and or by email or private message. Then I'm going to send you all a message, and the final price and the full price of the retreat will be need to be paid by cheque to me by the 29th of February 2016. So if less than 12 people then express interest, I won't book the conference chalet, and the price will drop to £232. I'm sorry that this is a little bit confusing, but I need to know final numbers before giving you the best price possible. And I've put off recording all weekend because I've been trying to work it out to get you the best price, because the chalet cost went up, and then because we're booking the conference chalet, the cost then again has increased. and because I don't know how many people are coming, I can't give you the best price. So if you see what I mean. So if 15 people come, including the conference room, £272. If less than 12 people come, I won't take the conference room and it'll be £232. But if just 12 people come and I take the cost of the conference room, it'll be £282. It's actually easier when you see it written down. And all the information is in the Ravelry thread. This includes, so, 3 nights bed and breakfast in your own room, and tea and coffee and home baking throughout the days when the conference chalet is what's pushed up the prices. And we're going to have it again in the Natural Retreat Complex at John O'Groats, which is a cafe for breakfasts through to 4 p.m. Although you'll not need breakfast because I'm doing it. There is a hotel nearby called the Sea View, which serves lunches and dinners if you want to go. And there's a local shop and post office, which is a good selection of food that you can get. Also get cash out from the post office and use the post office to send your postcards. It would be arrive after 4 p.m. on Thursday, or, well, let's face it, you can come to Caithness any time of that day and amuse yourself until the 4 o'clock when we get access to the lodges. You could always hang out at the Natural Retreats Cafe and then ask if you can go through to the reading room, which you will be able. They would be able to direct you to, and you can spend some time sitting and chilling there if you don't want to sit in the cafe. I will say that the chalets might look like wee wooden huts, but they are absolutely beautiful inside. Each one has a fully fitted kitchen and laundrette, lovely bathroom, although there was toilet roll there. There was no soap, so be soaped up, people. I don't need no germ warfare going on. You can get to John O'Groats by various mode of transport. You can fly to Wick from Edinburgh or Aberdeen, and depending on how many fly, you could then get a taxi up to John O'Groats. If there's just one or two, we could meet you. As with the bus, which takes about 3.5 hours from Inverness and 3 from Edinburgh, so you're looking at most of the day, this goes to both Wick and to Thurso. Also, the train comes up to Wick and to Thurso. And John O'Groats is 17 miles from Wick and 26 from Thurso, so you would have to consider how to get out there. No transport is included in the price, I'm afraid. What I would suggest, the best thing to do is wait to see who signs up on the thread. Well, don't wait to see. Sign up first and then work out where everybody is. And then work out a plan for either car sharing or public transport buddying. Well, wouldn't personally recommend the train from Inverness because it takes 4 hours and goes inland for scenes like days. And it's okay if you're just coming from Inverness, but if you've come from further away from that, then consider your options. But if you're after a long train journey for knitting with some bonny, bonny scenery, don't get me wrong, it is beautiful. This is your kiddie. But I do recommend that you tie in together because there is enough parking at the resort for cars, so don't be swayed for anything that I say or do. But it's quite a long journey up, so be aware. Thursday will all be about arriving, meeting us, settling in, and the opening ceremony. Also, dinner will be up to you. Last year it was organised to take along lasagnas, but again I'll leave this up to your ideas. We will eat in the conference chalet too, if we have it, and it might be better because we'll have a group meal. And this will be my getting to know you session, and Mum will be on hand to do the I like Mickey Mouse because he is small and he has big hands and big ears thing. And you had to be there, honest, but it was funny. There will be a workshop of some sort on a Friday morning. I'm going to run that this year and I'm still considering what to do. I'm going to speak to Shirley when I see her. Hopefully she'll be able to help. If you have any requests, please let me know. Friday afternoon will be a free to knit or explore kind of time. Friday night will be a takeaway and then we can choose which one we want and where what we want then. You will need cash for this. Well, this is my suggestions. If you have dietary requirements that don't include the aforementioned or don't fancy takeout, then don't fret. It's your self-catering to do with what you wish. On the Friday night, we did a drams tasting where Richard and I opened a bottle of Old Pulteney and then we had a live dram session which was not recorded. So it's just the usual, the bottle design, the taste of notes, the smell, more taste, who we're having for a dram. And that brought up some wonderful suggestions. So you're more than welcome to take part if you like alcohol, or just sit and watch us and knit. We wouldn't force you. It's part of the podcast and it's part of the retreat, but we wouldn't impress it on you. Then on the Saturday morning, I'll host a different workshop. And if I have people available, we'll have a vendor fair. So if you make and want to sell, we can set up a couple of tables. And then I was thinking again of inviting my local crafty friends. As I said, Shirley is very much looking forward to it, and hopefully those that work during the week will be able to attend the Saturday morning time. Saturday afternoon is up to you. You can go off exploring John O'Groats as we did last year, or you can go down to Wick or Thurso or the gin distillery at Dunnet or Castle of May, or go hunting round some of the Neolithic burial sites. If you're a nature lover, this is a glorious place for you because there are seabirds aplenty. You're pretty much guaranteed seals at John O'Groats, or if not, along the coastline. And you that like sheep can come and baa at all the sheepy sheep that are everywhere. On Saturday night last year, we went out for dinner to the local hotel and we had a pub quiz and a kind of closing ceremony and said our official goodbyes. On the Sunday morning, checkout time is 10 a.m. and I'm afraid I won't be available much after that this year because, very inconveniently, the May 10K is that afternoon and I thought I would be avoiding their date, but they've changed it after I booked the retreat. However, it won't affect you and you can always come run the race if you would like. So sign up, one and all, and if your husbands or partners are driving you up, and they are welcome to stay, but it would be a small cost of £20 for the 3 nights for them, as then you would be sharing a room and they would get their breakfast included. As I have based the prices on 12 people attending, but I have room for 15. So, as I said, it will make the costs go down. See, it's the chalets have gone up, and I'm really worried about not filling the chalets up. And then, secondly, the conference chalet, because it's a set price. So, it's the 26th to the 29th of May in John O'Groats. And I still can't promise real puffins. But really enjoyed it last year, which is why I'm hosting it again this year.
The beaker section.
Me section. The sewing machine front. I had the first sewing day of the year, and I took along the quillo that I had abandoned last year. I managed to sew together the squares, hopefully in the pattern that I had set them into carefully when I was putting it together last October-ish time. However, I got up because somebody wanted something halfway through and then I sat down and went, oh dear, I can't remember if this is upside down or what the way it is, so we'll see. But I have it all in strips now and the next stage is to cut the bigger squares into triangles which will then need to be sewn onto each strip. Sewing the squares took way longer than I was expecting, but it was fine as the company was great. We also decided to have sewing day every week instead of just once a fortnight. And it's where we sew what we want and take our own lunch, but the hall gets paid and there's tea and coffee, sadly cake or biscuits. And I couldn't eat the cake because it was made with almonds, so I had crisps instead. There was a few Christmas card wall hangings holders being finished and some diary covers being made and a tweed skirt. There was a couple of tartan handbags and some workshop bags being finished. Also, talk of making Christmas-themed waistcoats, which is why they're wanting to go sewing every week now. So, textile artist starts tomorrow. On to the knitting front. The Owligan cardigan, I moved the bag from the kitchen to the bedroom, but I want to get back to it. I'm on the arm, I've knitted one ball of yarn, and I'm up to the first elbow. And the reason I started on the sleeve is because, well, I've done my tension square already, but I'm going to double check the tension to make sure everything is okay. I'll have to do that before I join the next ball of yarn, won't I? And also because it's just nice once you've got, you do the body and you think, oh, sleeves to do. Well, once I've done the sleeves, I'm just going, oh, I've got the body to do. See if it makes any difference. I have been knitting away like a demon on vanilla socks for Sandy, and I'm using the West Yorkshire Spinners sock yarn in hollyberry and cherry colours, and this was via Brit Yarn's wonderful service. I had decided in my head that I wanted cherry cuffs, heels and toes, and shoulders, knees and toes, and the rest of it are in hollyberry pattern. I tried it on his foot after I turned the heel, and then I realised it was a bit too tight. So I didn't decrease to the original number of stitches for the foot. You can get it over his ankle, it's just a little bit tight, but the going over his ankle is the problem. So I'll not be able to felt or shrink these at any point in time. So I'm now on the second sock, and I put in an extra 2 stitches to give in that area. As of course his foot is going to grow, isn't he? We measured them the other day and they are growing like weeds. Now the yarn hasn't bobbled at all, and I love the changing of the colours part. Although I take it that when you have different coloured heels, it's because you have to put in an afterthought heel, as the going down the heel, turning the heel and then picking it up doesn't really work when you get to the picking it up part. So I have a red cuff and the red back of the heel and a turned in bit red, but then the picking up bit is going back to the patterned yarn. Then I kind of forgot to do the toe in a different colour. I blame drink. I drank quite a lot over the holidays. Almost there was only one drink in starting the toe, and I only drank 2 drinks in a session anyway. One drink was too many to remember to change back to the cherry colour. So the yarn pattern at the time was in the red zone, so I kind of got away with it. But by the time the Kitchener stitch appeared, it was back into the green wattle bit. I reckon that's fine, I've got podcast fodder. Then I turned it inside out. I don't quite know why. Oh, I think I was sewing in the bit. I was just sewing in the ends. And I realised that I had carried the yarn from one part to the other. I don't know how I managed it. I've like missed out stitches because I was using DPNs. And I had a long float in the back of one of the lines. So I just darned that in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I say, I've made mistakes in all my stuff. It's just, you can't find it. On Monday, the postie came round. And I wasn't expecting him at all on Monday because Scotland has 2 days bank holiday over New Year. But they got theirs on the Saturday because it was really nice to see him. And he handed me a wee packet from America from the lovely, lovely Silver Spring Knit, who is going to meet in Edinburgh Yarn Fest for all of 5 minutes, I think it will be. But she's very kindly sent me a skein of Buffalo Wool Company double knit in a bonny green colour. And this is 50% bison and 50% superwash merino, and it's 50 grams, which is about perfect for a hat. So I've cast on the Farm Beanie by Alison Britt, which is from Via Ravelry, and it's a free pattern. And it seems quite straightforward, and I should have enough for it for Richard. Silver Spring Knit says that the Buffalo Wool Company are going to be at the Edinburgh Yarn Fest, and well, she's always going to be there, so hopefully see her. And she also said that she has bought her family the socks that they have for sale ready-made because they're the best socks ever. I put them onto the list for the Edinburgh Yarn Fest for my list, possibly for me. Oh, my feet were cold today. So thank you, lovely, lovely Norma, and I'm looking forward to meeting you in person. I've just got to make the hat first. So I've been non-stop wearing my 1898 hat by Christine Barnes, made for me by the lovely Bobby. So, and I could do with a spare one so I could get it washed easily. You know, it's like having a bear and having a comforter. You can't take it off them until they're out the house. I actually washed my hat yesterday and I was looking for it this morning going, oh, it's not dry yet. Oh, so what are you going to make for the Edinburgh Yarn Fest? It sort of occurred to me the other day, maybe I should make something for it, because last year I had my Lush cardigan to wear for it. But this year, I don't know. So then I was thinking maybe I could make a shawl, or I don't think I'll have time to make a garment. So what are you making for Edinburgh Yarn Fest? On their page on Ravelry, they've actually got a thread for that exact topic. And there's some really, really nice ideas and designs. On the crochet front, as I mentioned a bit earlier, I made a Yoda from Star Wars by Lucy Collins. And he didn't take very long. He's 11 centimetres tall, but his feet are on his bum. Mum laughed and laughed when I told her this. He's very cute and the bairns like him. And Sandy never noticed, but Daisy did. And I'm next going to make the Stormtrooper and possibly Princess Leia before I have to look out more yarn. Lucy's got a very good blog and she tells us where to get the yarn she used, and it's Hayfield's yarn, which it's acrylic, but it's fine to use. And it's easy enough to get in the UK. You should go and have a good look at all of Lucy's designs. Turns out I've already made her dragon pattern. and I've made two of them that I hadn't realised until I was looking through her Ravelry page. I thought the name was familiar. She's got loads of wee decorations on her blogs, and I know it's January, but if you haven't put your red yarn away in the loft, then get your hook out and make a couple of Santas.
Shoppy section.
Well done, us for getting this far. Thank you so much for your purchases over Christmas. I do very much appreciate it. I was thinking about having a coupon for Christmas and I never quite got round to it. So maybe for January we could have a coupon of January and you can get 10% off everything in the shop. So if you've got some Christmas money left over, if you've got your Christmas money, you could spend that on the retreat. But if you say you've got a wedding that day, because that's the only excuse, or you're having a child, that's really the only excuses I'm taking, then go to my shop and let's see what you can have. There's McLean, Farquharson, Wallace, Robertson, Ancient Macmillan, Ancient and Weathered Fraser Tartan Bags, and there's the Diary. Oh no, the Diary got sold. And then there's a couple of notebooks with Je suis Prest or De la Fache on them. And one of them can be removed and replaced and the other one is stuck on the front. And there is Sheep Cozies and a Highland Coo Tea Cozy. So if you'd like to contribute to my continued running of the podcast but get stuff back, do go to www.etsy.com/shop/KathNessCraft and your coupon is January.
Blah 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 section.
Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me splaff on. My email is kathnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I'm on Ravelry as Louise Hunt, Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook as kathnesscraft, and you can access the Flickr photos from LouiseG2010 or via the Podbean site as www.kathnesscraftcollective.podbean.com, and the photos are down the right hand side there. Thank you for listening and keep on crafting.
Take